Welcome to the fourth of 13 podcasts based on our new book, Business Communication, Rhetorical Situations, which is available from Broadview Press. That's broadview.com. Each of these podcasts will give an overview of the chapter it focuses on, as well as some background to the cases or rhetorical situations that provide a narrative structure to the chapter. I will provide ideas for instructors about how to teach from the chapter and what parts of the chapter I stress when I teach from it. So chapter 4, Professional Writing in an Electronic Environment, really talks about the vast majority of writing that happens, especially, of course, since we're working through a COVID, post-COVID environment where people may or may not be working 9-to-5 in the same physical space. In this chapter, we give three situations, three parts of the chapter. The first part talks about how to write a good email message, a good basic email message. The second part talks about how to write a promotional email in which you're trying to get people excited and get their attention, that kind of thing. In the third part of the chapter, we use the example of having to write for a blog in order to engage with customers. So in the first part of the chapter, we talk about basic email messages and what the component parts are. So the component parts are things like the to line, the from line, the subject line, CC, which is carbon copy, and BCC, blind carbon copy. Then there's the message area itself, and then there's any attachments with the message. One of the things we talk about is a poor subject line. So there are ways in which you can make it clear to your whoever you're sending an email to what's in the email. And there are better and worse ways of doing that, and we talk about that and give some examples of it. Then there's the question of the CC, carbon copy, section, which gets political quickly. And it's something that students need to know the ramifications of, so that it matters how you can use that to include, create a group that knows about the message or is talking about this issue. And even further to that is this BCC line. Now, that blind carbon copy, so carbon copies, of course, came about with the typewriter in the late 1800s and the invention of carbon paper, so you could make copies of the same memo throughout an organization. It was a huge innovation in organizational discourse and allowed for many companies to expand much farther than their local branch. Well, email has done a similar kind of thing, of course, where it's allowed people to make infinite copies and send them out instantaneously to all kinds of different people. And it's changed a lot about how people work. And now, of course, in the post-COVID era, where people don't or haven't been working in the same physical location, it has become even more important. Now, blind carbon copy is a tricky one because it has to do with sending a message out but not being clear that other people may also be reading it, like superiors or whoever. And so we talk about the politics of that and when and where to use that. In the message space, we basically focus on the idea of formality versus informality within that space. One of the key things that you're going to need to work with students on is the idea of the text message style, which is not appropriate for email, and the distinctions between the two and the level of formality that's in both. Another thing that students have trouble with or aren't really necessarily aware of is how to use attachments. So sometimes people are tempted to put too much in the message itself, too much information, when some of it can be put into another document which is attached to the message or lives somewhere else or refers to it. So I think that one of the things that you can help students with is just figuring out, what is it that I actually have to say here? What are things I can say, provide a link to, and what are things I can use as attachments? So that's very useful information for them. In the second part of the chapter, we talk about tone, levels of formality, and privacy in electronic communication. And we'll get to the privacy bit, but that's really a crucial thing that they may not be very aware of initially. So one of the key things about electronic communications that make them great are that they can be distributed widely. They can be shared quickly. They can be copied effortlessly. And they can be forwarded indiscriminately. Now, those are all advantages. At the same time, as many of you know, there are real problems with a lot of that. So you have to be really careful about what you're saying in them because you're not really sure ultimately who's going to read it in what context. The next thing we talk a little bit about is text messaging and chat. So here we give an example where we talk about which are the formal words for things. So we use the word position rather than the word job. You talk about projects, not about things. You try not to use the word awesome too much. Things like that. But it has to do with the level of diction or the register, if you want to talk about in linguistic terms, the register in which you're writing. And you want to try to get that more formal business register here. The next thing we're talking about is the fact that email is not always private. In fact, if you're writing an email on a company computer using a company web server, it's not private at all. There's nothing private about it. And sometimes, even if you're writing an email using your company email account on your own phone, it's not private. But as soon as it gets onto that server, anyone can read it that's at the company. And so students don't always have a good sense of that distinction and are aware of that. And so one of the things we're trying to do here is just bring them up to speed a little bit on what are the rules of the game around that. Another thing we try to disabuse them of is the idea of using any kind of humor or emoticons or emojis and things like that. Although, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words, well, they're often misinterpreted or interpreted in different ways. And humor is really tricky. Yeah, I get messages sometimes, even today, and I'm not totally sure if somebody's kidding or not. And I have to really not respond to some things because I'm not sure. Is that pulling my leg or what's going on here? So that's just a bad idea, certainly in a business context. Then there's the whole issue of inflammatory emails that you may or may not receive. And we've got lots of examples here about things that actually happened. And we give a little bit of advice about how to deal with those, which basically is don't. You stay away from it. You certainly do not respond. So in the third part of the chapter, we talk a little bit about publishing on the web. So Twitter, blogs, Facebook, and LinkedIn. The first thing we talk a little bit about there is handling other people's private information. So you've got to be really, really careful with that. Basically not publicize anything that might be construed as private to someone else. And so we try to pick up on the style chapter, which was chapter 3, and talk about what's the appropriate style for a web publication. And here are some of the things that we talk to students about. So shorten your message. Create separate printable files for longer messages. Write short paragraphs. Use visuals where possible. Write short, simple sentences. That's 12 to 20 words on average. Use bullets for lists and add links to other pages. You know, one thing it's really important to keep in mind is that a website, for example, will look very different on a laptop than it will on a phone. And what my experience certainly with students these days is that they all have phones. They don't all have laptops or tablets or anything like that. But they've all got phones. And so whatever it is, when you're writing something, you've got to imagine somebody reading it on a phone. And that's why we're saying keep these things short. Now, blogs are a different kind of animal too, right? They're different from a newspaper article. They can be more informal in tone. And they take a more relaxed sort of attitude to the subjects that you're talking about. So we direct students to read a bunch of blogs, and in the third case, or rhetorical situation in the chapter, we ask them to write a blog entry for a cycling shop that's trying to promote their work and build a community around that shop. Thanks for listening. This has been a summary of Chapter 4 from Business Communication, Rhetorical Situations, and that's available from Broadview Press, broadview.com. For more information about the book or about our other books, you can visit wecanwrite.ca.